This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
To a very special episode here of Musings on Madison on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network, and it's very special because there's a Blackhawks game happening right now, and we decided to go with a live recording of it. Well, you know, kind of live, but if you hear any random outbursts of joy or pain during the next 30 to 40 minutes or so, it's because something probably happened during the Blackhawks game. I'm your host, Dave Melton, here again, assistant editor from Second City Hockey. And with me, just one of the usual two voices you hear tonight, Brandon Kane's on assignment at the United Center, told me he's enjoying, I think it was like chicken and meatballs and some, quote, weird salad shit tonight. So he's busy with all that. So with me is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepard Price.
Hello, people. We are missing Brandon. But we're all enjoying chicken and meatballs at some point if we can sort of just say that.
I was waiting to see where you were going with that. I wasn't sure at all. We're coming to you as the Blackhawks and Avalanche just started the third period. Colorado's up 3-1, and as has been the case much of the night, they have a sustained possession in the offensive zone. Nathan MacKinnon and Sam Girard are just circling, doing whatever they want. And the main thing we want to talk about as this game is unfolding is the Colorado Avalanche are getting scary good. Like, every time we watch them play, it gets kind of exacerbated because of the way the Hawks look. Just the lack of speed that the Hawks have looks especially bad against Colorado. And then just the general talent that Colorado has seems to really always come to play against the Hawks. Like, even when the Hawks were at the height of their powers earlier this decade, it seemed like Colorado always gave him fits just because they always had such a fast team. So I guess what we kind of want to get into here, Shepard, as we're watching the rest of this game is, can you describe kind of the talent gap between these two teams?
I don't believe it is a talent gap. I think if you look at the Blackhawks forwards and two of their defensemen, they have good talent. It's a speed gap. It's a pretty evident speed gap between the Blackhawks and the Avalanche. The Avalanche play a game that is much more suited to the 2019 NHL, especially Nathan MacKinnon, who is just terrifying. What he wants to be.
Terrifying.
He's one of the fastest skaters in the NHL, just downhill. And then especially in the wings they added in the offseason as well, in Donskoy and Burakovsky. Even Nazem Kadri has more speed than probably people realize. This is a team well-built, especially with their defensemen. Sam Girard, fast. Cale Makar, fast. They have speed, and that's the thing the Blackhawks don't have. They have guys who can score. They don't have guys besides maybe Dominic Kubalik and maybe Brandon Saad.
So, yeah, I think the Blackhawks have – like the two guys you mentioned, like Saad and Kubalik, have the speed, but Kubalik's not bad at it, but they don't have the combination of speed and finishing ability the Colorados. I think that's the issue. And like, to be fair, nobody else in the NHL has a Nathan MacKinnon. Well, all right, Edmonton. Edmonton has Connor McDavid. And then what other forward has the combination of speed and finish that those two guys have? Anybody, you going to put anyone else in that class?
I think New Jersey probably hopes that Jack Hughes would have that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's maybe hope when as he sort of continues to adjust to the NHL that maybe he'll get there. Other than that, nobody.
Yeah, so it's like it's easy to sit here and, you know, say, I wish the Blackhawks had someone like Nathan MacKinnon. Well, so do 30 other NHL teams. Like everybody wishes they had a guy like him on their team. So that's and you can't really just go get a guy like that. Like they're just not available. You know, you can't.
Right. They're number one overall picks for a reason.
Exactly. So, like the main thing we're trying to figure out is, as we're going to discuss tonight, is try and figure out how the Hawks bridge this gap that currently exists between themselves and Colorado, because it really seems like out of all the teams in the Central, Colorado is built.
Colorado is the one with the brightest future. The best team down the road.
They're built for the present and they're built for the future. Like I was looking at their salary cap situation. Mikko Rantanen's making the most money. He's locked up through 2025 at $9.9 million. But Nathan MacKinnon's making a criminally low 6.3 for this season and three more. And then you go down to the blue line. Cale Makar is on his entry level deal. Then he's still got two more years of that, right? Oh, he's on the injured reserve section. Yeah. So Cale Makar signed through this season and the next on his entry level deal. And you've got Sam Girard is going to on his entry level deal this year. His salary only goes up to $5 million for the foreseeable future. Ryan Graves is, well, all right, let's not get Ryan Graves in there just yet. He's having a good season, but I don't want to lump him in with the future. So
right.
The only real weakness.
We don't know what his future is.
Exactly. So the only real weakness with this team, and this is something we were talking about before coming on the air, is goaltending is the only thing that's kind of a question, because Grubauer had such a great run last year, but, you know.
Is that sustainable? Yeah.
You don't know if he's Cam Ward or if he's Carey Price. I mean, not to say he's going to go up that high, but you don't know if that one season of great play is going to be sustainable over the rest of his career. So I guess kind of going back to what we were initially poking at is, what's the best way to close this gap that currently exists? Because this seems like it's the team the Blackhawks are going to have to figure out how to beat if they're ever going to get back into contention in the Western Conference.
So I think the hope is that the Blackhawks defense, especially Adam Boqvist and Ian Mitchell, which are like the two guys the Blackhawks are putting the most faith in, I think, right, at this point, that they're able to sort of contend with Colorado and sort of slow down that speed. And then looking at the direction the Blackhawks are trending, draft Quinton Byfield, because if anybody has that same combination of speed and finishing ability that Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon have been themselves known for, it's Quinton Byfield, who's also got size on top of that.
I look, he's listed at 6'4", 214, and he's 17 years old. My God.
Yep. He's a monster who can skate like the wind and score. To close that gap, he's basically everything the Blackhawks need. So tank for Byfield. That's how you close the gap.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I think, you know, it's not like you have to get an entire team full of speedsters. You know, you don't have to have 18 skaters who can fly like the wind to compete with Colorado. I think you just need it more. You need to be able to, like, you know, have one or two guys on a couple of lines that can do it. Like we were talking earlier, like there's Brandon Saad, there's Dominic Kubalik, and they don't really have many other burners in the lineup. Like, it's just so noticeable whenever they try and forecheck or whenever there's a 50-50 puck, it seems like Colorado just gets there. And then it's also like that speed in the offensive zone, the way that Colorado's constantly interchanging and circling the zone. Forwards are coming back up to the blue line, D line, their D are going back behind the net. Like, it's just constant motion, and it's constant fast motion because of how well everybody skates on that team. And it's just such a noticeable difference right now. Like, I think the Hawks have some guys who can play a style like that, like Boqvist and hopefully Ian Mitchell when he gets here end of this season or next season can contribute with that as well. But like, out of the forward group, it's like, you know, DeBrincat's not really that type of guy. Dylan Strom skates well for someone his size, but that's not really his game. So it's almost like, you know, you mentioned drafting Quinton Byfield, but I don't know how quickly they can remedy the situation just because they don't have a ton of guys who can do this.
Right, and even their prospects like Phil Kuryshev, he skates well, but I don't know if you'd call him fast. Mackenzie Entwistle skates well, but you don't know if you'd call him fast. These guys who are supposed to contribute down the road, they're not, like you said, burners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where I know it's interesting because that's how the game has progressed in the last 4 to 5 years. It's gotten so much faster. It's all about team speed, and you wonder if the Blackhawks will finally put a speedy team together in 3 or 4 years, and then the league will shift again and be something completely different.
Right. It feels like the Blackhawks have sort of tried to steer out of the skid of the speed game, especially with their offseason acquisitions and Olimata and Alex Nylander, neither of whom is a particularly good skater. Mm-hmm. And that's shown itself over the past few games.
Yeah. And like, we'll have to, in future episodes of Musings on Madison, we'll have to get Brandon back on here to talk about Rockford, see if there's anybody lighting it up speed-wise down at that level, just because, you know, they're going to need some guys to get here soon if this is going to work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to need to play the guys who could have that speed. Like Dylan Sakura he was tired the few games he's played in Chicago so far this season, but he's got some skating ability.
Yeah. And it's just, I feel like they need, you know, and the other thing is they need somebody on the blue line who can play a defensive style that's really fast. Like, basically, they need 2008 Duncan Keith to come back to the team because Keith was so fast. Like, there really wasn't anybody in the NHL in Keith's prime who could skate by him.
Right.
And so, and right now, I mean, MacKinnon blew the doors off the Keith and Murphy combo for a goal tonight that, again, only a handful of guys in the NHL are going to score. But if we're ever going to – if the Blackhawks are ever going to get back to where we would like them to get to, it's probably going to be going through Nathan MacKinnon. And as I'm watching this, MacKinnon just took the puck from his own blue line, skated it into a 3-on-2. All right, and they almost scored. Okay. I was just waiting for the formality of Colorado scoring because we're about halfway through the third period now, and I don't think I've seen the Hawks have anything that would even resemble a scoring chance at the moment, just because Colorado's just got
that much better. Yeah.
And you know what? The other thing I want to touch on is I think I said talent gap earlier on. I don't think – and then we digressed into talking about speed. It's not that – I don't think there's a massive talent gap between these two teams. I really don't. I think there's just – things are just working for Colorado right now. And, like, this is the way it used to be with the Blackhawks when – like, the best example I can give you of what I'm trying to say here is Cale Makar is out right now. Eric Johnson's out right now. Mikko Rantanen's missed half the season. Gabe Landeskog's missed half the season. They've had all these guys get hurt, and they're still winning.
Right.
Because what happens when you're – yeah, go ahead.
They have the next guy up mentality, and Adam and again, Burakovsky and Donskoy, who were the guys they acquired in the offseason, stepped up. They did the guys in front of them's job really, yeah. Really well.
Jonas Donskoy, I remember him 3 or 4 years ago being a fourth liner for San Jose and just being a great fourth liner, top guy that's going to score 20 or 30 points, which is exactly what you need from a fourth liner. I just looked at their stats today as I was writing the preview. He's got like 27 points in 33 games. By far the best numbers of his career. But that's what happens when you have when the things are going well in your organization, and that's not what's happening with the Blackhawks right now, which is why when they get guys hurt like Calvin DeHaan, the guys they bring up don't work.
Right. The Blackhawks' next guy up is not nearly as capable as the Colorado's next guy up.
Yeah, which is really like, again, this goes back to what we were talking about in another episode. Like, everything has to be lined up so perfectly for the Blackhawks to get a winning performance out of a game. And tonight, facing maybe the best team in the West, each team had a day off the day before. The Hawks are down 3-1 and just not showing any sort of ability to get back into the game.
And that's also a function of coaching, too, because Jared Bednar is an excellent coach.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean – We've already done the episode of whether or not Jeremy Colliton's going to have a job by the end of this year. And I think that's another indictment on Colliton. There's just that I don't think that talent gap between Chicago and Colorado is this massive, but it shouldn't be this easy for Colorado to walk into the United Center and just hand the Hawks a 3-1 deficit in the third period and not really break a sweat doing it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
We also, we put out to the masses to have some, oh, Dylan Strome just hit the post.
Hey, a ping. Yeah,
there's something. It's Kane, the Kane, Strome, and Nylander line that was interesting to see Nylander get put up on the line with Kane and Strome because, like, I feel like Alex Nylander is becoming the new David Rundblad and that the Blackhawks are going to keep playing him and keep waiting for him to be what they hope he can be. Everything.
But like, he's not. He's not.
Well, I mean, he's only, what, 21, 22? Like, he's still young.
Right, but he should get another – people keep saying it'll discourage him to be promoted – to be bumped down to Rockford. But at some point, you got to let him develop more because he doesn't – he's not ready for this team.
No, I think just it might be – you know, you send him down to Rockford for a couple of weeks and then you give him the opportunity to – maybe it's just like a wake-up call saying, hey, you need to be doing these things, and if you're not going to do these things, you're not going to be with the organization at this level. Go ahead.
Especially when there are players like Dylan Sakura who have earned a look in Rockford and aren't getting it because of Nylander.
And I mean, at this point, what do you have to lose? Because there's just not – they're not doing enough. When you're not winning, as the Blackhawks are not doing right now, there's like jobs can't be safe. Like people's, you know, there at some point there's going to be accountability. I feel like there's going to be accountability for the head coach soon, but the players also have to be, there's got to be some accountability there. When you're not winning, people are going to lose their jobs. So let's dive into some of the questions we got on Twitter. We reached out to the masses to see if anybody had some thoughts, and Mitchell Watts asked us a few questions and he goes, who was the best offseason acquisition excluding Leonard, whether it be free agency, trade, or draft, and who's made the most impact and who will in the future? So that's several questions in one. And actually, I tweeted this out earlier from the Second City Hockey account, and I don't know if it's my final answer, but Ryan Carpenter has been a sneaky good acquisition this year, right? And you, I remember he came over from Vegas, and you said he wasn't this good in Vegas.
No, he was not this good in Vegas. He was sort of on the ice, but he was never sort of a presence like he is in Chicago, where he's like one of their best forecheckers. He's one of the best on the team in terms of like goals above relative, goals above league average. He's been excellent for this team.
Yeah, and I think the concern I had about him is I think there was concern about his skating ability, and I also he was a low performing penalty killer on a mediocre penalty kill. I think Vegas was like right at like 15 or 16 on the PK last season, and all the shot metrics and everything had Carpenter as the player who's getting the most chances against. So I was concerned how that was going to translate to Chicago. He's been pretty good on the penalty kill here.
I honestly think it might have been the teammates he was playing with. Cody Eakin doesn't seem to be the best penalty killer, and that's sort of the guy who Carpenter was slotted with, and he sort of had an upgrade in teammates on the penalty kill, and that might be a factor of coaching because I believe – say what you will about Mark Crawford, but Mark Crawford's been the guy in charge of the penalty kill for the Blackhawks this season, and it's been a pretty well-coached unit.
Yes, it has. I think that's the one small surprise that's been a pleasant surprise with this team is that the penalty kill has been better than last year. Couldn't have been much worse, but I think it's around – I think they're in the
high – league average.
Yeah. League average is fine compared to last year. It's like in the – they're in the high teens right now, 18, 19 or something like that, which – you know, ideally you'd want to be up near like, you know, in the top 10, but I think for right now, I think considering last season's dreadful number, I think we can live with 18 or 19 right now.
Yeah, and considering the start to the season with the Blackhawks penalty kill unit had, it's an excellent number.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I forgot how bad it was early on. And the Mitchell Watts other question is, and this kind of goes into something we've talked about earlier, is, do the Hawks trade Crawford or Leonard at any point this season? And I think the answer to that one is to be determined, because I don't think we're going to know that answer until we know what this team is, where they're sitting at in February.
Right. Around the deadline time. In my opinion, yes. And I already have the teams I believe they'll be traded to in mind too.
Okay. Go on. Pitter patter.
I think Corey Crawford's best fit is Edmonton. They're a goaltender away from being an actual contender, in my opinion. Their defense has stepped up. They have a good coach this season, and then they have the best player probably on the planet in Connor McDavid. They don't have a good goaltender, though.
Right.
Mikko Koskinen is not excellent. Cam Talbot, I don't think, has worked out. So trading for a goaltender at the deadline makes sense for them, and I think Corey Crawford deserves a chance to show what he can do behind a fast team.
Yeah.
And then Robin Leonard, San Jose.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely – yeah, Martin Jones is definitely not he's not – never inspired confidence that he was going to be the guy.
No.
And I think after last season – yeah, after last postseason, the way that season kind of fell apart for them, I think he is I think they're going to need a – they're going to need someone other than Martin Jones to be the guy, just because – they're going to get to, you know, April and May, and you're going to have the same questions you had a year ago, and that's not the way you want to enter the postseason. Also, I don't know exactly what happened in the game, but Nazem Kadri's throwing the fit on the Colorado bench, and I wish I'd seen what happened, because I would have think I might have enjoyed whatever made Nazem Kadri throw a fit on the bench.
Yeah, maybe that's a positive for the Blackhawks, finally.
Yeah. And the other question we've got so far, Brandon Kane – wants to know, what's the best film from the Santa Claus series?
Okay, so it depends on what you mean by best. Like, what is my favorite, or what is the superior one? So I'll take a little bit of a break to think about that.
All right,
you go. You take this first.
Well, it's the first one, and now we have to actually talk about the Blackhawks, because Sam Girard just threw Alex DeBrincat into the boards very rudely, and not a very nice way to treat a guy on his 22nd birthday.
And no.
DeBrincat was very slow to get up. He's still down, and now actually the trainers are out to attend to Alex DeBrincat. So, hey, you want to go closer and closer to your worst-case scenario? Alex DeBrincat might be hurt now.
Oh. By the way, the Blackhawks easily could have drafted in the same round as Alex DeBrincat. They took Chad Kreis, a pick before Sam Girard.
It's a late hit. It's in a bad position. It's just, it's not necessarily a dirty hit, because you didn't, like, there's no hit to the head, but it's several seconds. It's a noticeable time after DeBrincat had moved the puck, and they're showing the clip of when Girard and DeBrincat fought 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I don't know if there's a carryover from that, because DeBrincat is staying on the bench for the time being, though. So yeah, that's not a good hit.
No,
it's in a very bad location, and it's kind of late. So yeah, so we can add Sam Girard to the list
of people we don't like.
I take back any of the nice things I said about him.
About him?
Yeah, about Girard. Yeah, forget it. Yeah, I'm done with him.
Again, the Blackhawks could have taken him in the same round as Alex DeBrincat, and just avoided this all entirely. Had a good defenseman as well.
So
had him out there hurting Colorado maybe instead.
Yeah. So looking around at the rest of the Central Division, obviously Colorado really stands out as a team that's going to be a problem. Any other teams that really register on your radar as someone to watch for the next 2 or 3 years?
Dallas's defense is young. John Klingberg, Issa Lindell, and Miro Heiskanen.
Miro Heiskanen is a lot of fun. I really enjoy Miro Heiskanen.
He's up there for me.
Yeah.
There's guys I think will always stay ahead of him, but like he's really good at his job, and he's a really superior defensive defenseman.
And that's it? Just Dallas? No one else?
I mean, name anybody else. Nashville's aging. And they've got bad contracts. Winnipeg is all goaltending. I don't know if Connor Hellebuck's Vezina season will be sustainable. Arizona / Houston will be losing players. Taylor Hall is probably not going to re-sign in Arizona. Minnesota is Minnesota. They're always going to be average, in my opinion. Yeah. They don't have the star power, and they're not tanking. I don't think they're going to get in the lottery this season. That leaves the Avalanche.
Yeah. That pretty much wraps it up. Like I thought, about a year or two ago, I was really terrified that Winnipeg was going to be just this unstoppable monster, just because they finally got some forward depth to go with the blue line monstrosity that they were assembling, and then like in one offseason, that entire blue line fell apart, and now Patrick Laine might leave, and everything else is just everything just kind of seems out of sorts for them. Like they seem like they're going to be perpetually above average, but never graduating into like the elite category, which is probably the worst place to be as a fan, is when your team's consistently just good enough to lose in the second round of the playoffs.
First or second round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, that defense, it went from really good into trading Jacob Trouba for not much of a return. Losing Dustin Byfuglien probably at this point to retirement. I don't think he'd stay out this long if he was actually going to come back. Yeah, the blue line is just Josh Morrissey at this point.
You know, which Josh Morrissey isn't, you know, a terrible player, but
Josh Morrissey would be the number one defenseman on the Blackhawks.
That's a low bar to clear. So the good news is that the Blackhawks killed a penalty, and I haven't been able to see, but it looks like DeBrincat is still on the bench. So
hey,
he's not worse for wear. So that's good, but Sam Girard can still get bent. Like I've had enough of him. Like that's all it takes. Just one incident. And like, all right, I'm done with this guy. Like I can still watch Cale Makar and not instantly hate him. But Sam Girard was carried over from Nashville, right?
Yes, he was traded from Nashville.
Right. Yeah. All right. So yeah, he still got some of the Nashville stank on him. I'd really enjoy if the Blackhawks would tie this game up now. Like this is the first time, this is the first incident I can think of where I've really, or just been able to generate some disdain for anybody from Colorado. Like for the most part, you know, Nazem Kadri's been pretty annoying wherever he's gone, but he hasn't really done anything since he's been in Colorado that I can think of.
You didn't hate Semyon Varlamov, ender of all things Blackhawks streaks related?
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's also domestic abuse.
And just a terrible person in general. Yeah, I guess. It's different with him. It's on ice disdain, I think, is a different type of beast. Like Rafi Torres is always the high bar for that. There really wasn't anybody in Colorado that had done anything during a Blackhawks Avalanche game that made me hate them. And now Sam Girard's working on it. So now this is how rivalries kind of get built up a little bit. Like this is how, you know, a decade ago the Vancouver stuff started, when just little incidents here and there. Glad no one's injured. Sam Girard can get his face pounded in by DeBrincat the next game, I'd be pretty happy. This is when I go full meatball, is when little incidents like this get started. So we'll see where it goes. Obviously, the Blackhawks need to get a lot better if this is going to be a legitimate rivalry, because otherwise Colorado's just going to, you know, take – the Hawks will get shorthanded trying to start fights. Colorado will score 19 goals, and we're all going to be pissed off anyway. So maybe the Blackhawks will get better on the ice, and this will become a fun rivalry in the 2020s to watch. But like we were talking about at the top here, there's a substantial gap between where the Blackhawks are now and where Colorado is now, and they got to close that. So we'll see what happens. Did you have any other burning Santa Claus thoughts before we decide to put a bow on this?
I will speak up for the second one. The second one is good. I liked the Mrs. Claus. Other than that, no.
I can't even remember the last time I saw the second one. I watched the first one a week ago and just forgot 90% of the things that happened in it. But if you had to go to – and do not say Die Hard, because I'm sick of that meme, essentially. What's your go-to Christmas movie if you had to pick one?
Okay, so I have two I watch every year. One will be of course, movie. The other one is sort of a hotter take.
Okay.
Elf, of course.
Of course.
The second one is The Night Before, which is the Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Anthony Mackie Christmas movie.
Okay.
I love it. It's a great modern comedy.
All right. Yeah, like I was actually thinking about this recently. Like I'm not a big movie guy in general, so it's kind of hard for me to pick one. But I think just time-honored classics, it's hard to beat Home Alone.
Yep.
It's really, you know, it's just good. And I think in just one movie, I feel like this is just a carryover from my childhood. I always liked the Garfield Christmas movie. It's like a half an hour long, but I remember watching it all the time as a kid. So every now and then I'll watch it during the holiday season just because.
No Peanuts Christmas special?
I mean, Charlie Brown's good too, but yeah. I'd take Garfield over Charlie Brown. There's my hot take. Garfield Christmas over Peanuts Christmas. There you go. There's my hot take for the episode. And this is actually a perfect time to end this podcast because Mikko Rantanen just scored into an empty net. It's 4-1 Colorado. I think this game's over. I guess the only thing to watch is to see if maybe Gerard and Brinkett decide to throw haymakers at each other in the final 220 here. But I think we'll let them deal with that, and we will put a bow on this episode, this abridged episode, Musings on Madison. He's at Shepherd Press on Twitter. I'm at _ Dave Melton. You can follow us also at _ Second City Hockey. That's 2ND City Hockey. Also, feel free to stop by secondcityhockey.com, where we got stuff coming up all through the holiday season with the Blackhawks playing Thursday night in Winnipeg, and then they're in Colorado on Saturday, and then the Monday and Friday during the week of Christmas. So plenty of stuff to read there. And plenty of stuff to follow on Twitter. Thank you for listening to this episode. And we'll probably talk to you again before the holidays. But if we don't, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all of that. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye-bye. Da 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 da